ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Saturday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
You're with Luke Lewis, Michael Carayannis. I'm Andrew Moore, NRL Saturday on ABC Sports. Speaking about getting coachy, our next guest is certainly about to do that. He'll be coaching New South Wales State of Origin team for at least the next 2 years. Matt King joins us on the line now. G'day, Matt. How are you going?
G'day, boys. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Mate, very well. Congrats on the appointment, first of all. You've been involved with the Blues since 2017, I think I'm right in saying. And I remember asking you a couple of years ago, Matt, are you ready for this? Because everyone says, oh, it might be too nice a bloke to be a head coach. And you're pretty honest. I'm not too sure. You must be sure now, are you?
Yeah, I am. Experience is everything in life, really. So I've sort of feel like I've grown as a coach, particularly over the last 4 or 5 years with just some different experiences outside of the NRL. So Trent Robinson at the Roosters has been incredible for my coaching career. And then Madge asked me along to New South Wales a few years ago, rode shotgun with Lozza for the last couple of years and saw what that poor bugger had to go through. But Michael Checkers played a part in it too with the Lebanon team. And I just feel like I'm at a point now where, I've got a much better understanding of who I am as a bloke and as a coach and how I can get the best out of a team.
Well, I was saying on Monday, there might only be one better bloke than Laurie Daly, who's from New South Wales, and that's Matt King. So now you are taking over as coach. The responsibilities and the preparation to get a team ready for a 3-game series next year, when does it start for you?
I've got my feet under the desk. As of November, my contract starts. So obviously, the greatest responsibility I've got with the job is to pick the best 19 players for game one. And that's where my focus and priorities will definitely lie. But I don't think we've scratched the surface in regards to what a New South Wales head coach actually looks like. And I'm talking about getting in amongst the weeds with the pathways, the women's program, bush footy, grassroots. And I know I can't be in charge of all of those programs, but I really want to help because I know the byproduct of that will be success for our organization. But I just think it's going to build a deeper passion and love into the jumper and just hold on to this momentum that we've created as a state over the last few years.
Can you, mate, first of all, I want to say congratulations. Massive win to get that New South Wales coaching role. But being involved in all these teams now, and what did you learn most out of what, I suppose, Laurie just went through with the way that he had to handle the media and all the other stuff that was going on the outside?
Yeah, that stuff's separate to the footy, obviously, Louis. Like the footy's actually the easy part, to be honest, mate. Yeah. So what I've come to realise is you've got a real responsibility to make sure that State of Origin is held at the highest pinnacle of our game. So, being readily available, I suppose, media-wise and growing and selling the game is really, really important. And then you've got to have your dukes up too, mate, because I've come to learn the narrative around Origin, there's always a hero and a villain when it comes to the coaches. A few years ago, Freddie was the hero, and I felt like Kevy Walters was up against it there. And then that sort of changed when Billy came along. Billy was the hero and Freddie was out. And then Madge turned up. He was the hero. Billy was out. And then Loz has been copping it the last couple of years. So there's always a hero and a villain. I'm ready. I'm just ready to sort of ignore that, mate, and just, dive into the footy part of it and make sure that the players believe in what we're trying to achieve collectively. And ultimately to Louis, the character and the talent, like that's part and parcel of being a State of Origin player. So that's, that comes with the territory. My greatest job is to get everyone on the same page, believing in each other, know who they're playing for, the people in New South Wales, and then off we go, mate. We just charge forward.
All right, now going to the selection part. Now, I think this will be the hardest part in the world to do. Obviously, you're going to have selectors, and mate, you've got a lot of good friends and that are currently still playing in the side. You've been with them at the Roosters. How would you find those phone calls, I suppose? I don't know if you'd have to do that just yet because you've obviously been an assistant coach at the Roosters, but how are you going to find those phone calls, when you have to ring, say, Tedesco, for example?
Yeah. So it's a step up, mate. Obviously, I've been coaching Louis since the end of 2013. Well, that was my last year in the NRL, and 6 weeks after I finished playing, I had a whistle in my hand and was running drills there at South Sydney. So I have had my own teams, and I have had to have those awkward, uncomfortable conversations, mate. And it is just part of the gig. But it's next level, mate, is what you're saying, and I totally agree with you. When you have to ring a whoever that may be, and deliver some tough news, that's going to be really, really hard. So particularly, you know, from game one to game two, like if someone hasn't performed or need to make a change there, just ringing someone and letting them know that they're out of the team that they were in and now they're out, like that's the hard one. But I really hope, Louis, that I can build some relationships there, mate. I'm not going to sit and wait to get to know these guys week of game one. I'll get out and see clubs, see players. And when I say that, mate, it's a coffee here and there, Louis. I'm not going to sit down and go through footage with them or anything, but I do want to build those relationships, create a friendship. And then, you know better than anyone, Louis, when you've got that relationship with a coach, that news is always hard, but you do accept it when you know it's coming from the right place, from a good person who, and you both believe in the same thing, then it is just a bit easier to accept.
No, I love it, mate. And just want to go back to, out of all the coaches that you've worked with some outstanding coaches, you've been involved in a lot of amazing sides, and including, you know, as a player. You know, what's the most you've taken out of it that you can bring to Origin?
That I can bring to Origin, yeah. No one's asked me that question specifically like that, mate, to Origin. They've asked me a lot about what I've learnt from everyone, and that's a really easy answer for me. But being really specific on Origin, mate, I think the greatest thing that I took away from my time with Michael Maguire is, like it or not, Michael Maguire is 100,000,000% Michael Maguire, and he does exactly what he knows wins for him. You know what I mean, mate? He doesn't worry about how other people get it done. He knows how he gets it done. And then he lives and dies on that sword, Madge does. And, you know, Origin, South Sydney, the Kiwis, the Broncos last year, he creates such success. And then he's had rough times as well. But it's been with the same approach. So that's the one thing I've learned with Madge is have an understanding of who you are as a coach. And then, mate, get after it and don't waver for anyone.
Love it.
Now, you've had a few opportunities to coach overseas or even link with the Perth Bears potentially, mate. Why do you feel like the time's right to transition out of that assistant coaching role that you've had at the Roosters for a decade now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The timing's everything in life, Mick. And so a couple of things popped up there family-wise, mate. It just wasn't the right time. My wife's got a business here in Sydney and she's going hard at that and is becoming really successful. My daughters are between the ages of 15 and 10. So it's a really tricky time for those guys. And I spent some time with Ken Hinckley, who's recently retired Port Adelaide coach. And he just said something really simply to me, goes, Kingy, as a young coach, there's more power in saying no than saying yes. And it just sat with me, mate, and it just made all he was saying to me is just don't dive into the first opportunity. Make sure it's the right opportunity. And as you mentioned, mate, I've been very blessed over particularly the last 18 months where I have had some opportunities to get overseas. The Perth thing was a real option there for us, a couple of other little opportunities here and there, and none of them, when it came to the crunch, just felt like it was the absolute right time. And then thankfully, mate, I've kept my energy in the right place and then my dream job has turned up and I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
You mentioned earlier, you know, that Origin has heroes and villains and, you know, obviously, you know, the way you've carried yourself the past week, I think the hero aspect comes naturally, but how would you go if you're portrayed as the villain?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, mate. As I mentioned, three daughters and a wife, so that's the role I play here at home pretty easily. So, I don't know. I don't say this to sound like a hero or anything, but a great gift of mine, boys, is I don't have social media and I'm not one to look at, I don't buy the paper, I don't read any social media. I must admit I flick on Fox Sports every now and again, but I do have a great ability to take the news out of potentially what I'm watching, and when it becomes an opinion, I just turn it off. So I do have an ability to not absorb it too much, mate. But I suppose it's the great unknown too. If I do get portrayed as that dude that has to wear a bit of heat and pressure, just like Loz has over the last couple of years, one thing I will do, mate, is I'll absorb it. That's the great gift that Laurie Daly showed me, was when you're under the pump, don't push that pressure onto anyone else. That was his greatest gift to us for the last 2 years, Lozza.
It's hard to imagine you, though, Matt, as a gunslinger. Like, are you brushing journos? Are you calling them out in media conferences? Are you turning your back on them as you walk past them? It's hard to picture any of that happening.
Yeah, well, I feel if someone takes the courtesy to ring you or text you, you know, the least you can do is reply to them. And that doesn't matter what occupation you have. I've got to be aware, too, that I can't be soft and open and give all my energy to in the wrong places. So I'm really aware of my priority list and where I need to continually put my energy and focus. But that's... You can still be a good person, I reckon, when you do that. And you can, I've learned over the years how to say no, respectfully. Just go, look, I've learned how to do that. That's not a default setting of mine. You know, say yes to a lot of things, but I've become much better at that. So, there's some stuff that I'm going to have to navigate that I haven't had to before, but I really feel like I'm prepared, boys. As I said, I've been sitting back and watching great mentors of mine for 13 years now, and I feel like I'm ready to go.
You played Origin for New South Wales. Your love of the Blues cannot be questioned. Do you think about how you could compare winning a series as a player as opposed to what it might mean to you doing it from a coach's position?
Yeah, I'd take a player every single day of the week, mate. I've been fortunate 2 out of the last 3 years as an assistant to sort of sit back and watch the boys do their thing. And then you do have little memories of when you were a player. And, mate, nothing in a million years will ever replicate having your boots on, having a jumper on and playing 80 minutes of footy. Nothing will replicate that, mate. So I feel like that's my greatest job now, is to create an environment where 19 new players get to experience what I did 20 years ago. And in doing so, inspire the next generation of Blues, young Blues boys and girls to go out and be the best footy player they can be.
All right, Groover. Now, one of the things in State of Origin, it's mate v mate, obviously, state v state. You're coming up against your good mate, Billy Slater. Mate, how's that all going to work? Are you still going to, like... Now, I remember we used to come up against a mate that I was playing against when we were playing Origin. I wouldn't talk to him for 6 weeks. How's it work for you, King? Do you still sort of work with him, or you know what? I'm hating you for 6 weeks.
Yeah. During the Origin period, I think I'll tap out of the whole friendship thing, mate. But I'll... There's 20 years of friendship there between Billy and I. So, and we both, he loves Queensland as much as I love New South Wales. The one thing that I do know can coexist, Louis, is the ability for us to be good mates and then be absolute savages when it comes to competing against each other at State of Origin. We did it as players. You know, we would play State of Origin on the Wednesday. We'd get on a plane and then go to Sydney or wherever we had to go to play an away game for the Storm, and we'd be in a room together because we roomed together for 5 years. So,
how good.
Roomies, mate, yeah. So, we had this ability to throw down, have our dukes up and, get into it for 80 minutes and then, a night or two nights later be in the same room together laughing and yahoo and say, nothing will change there, mate. I'll respect our friendship and relationship for a lot longer than I'm the Origin coach. And but when it's time to go, mate, then it's time to go.
Louis, he's just a better bloke than you.
What he's saying is true. And I used to talk to my teammates as well. But when you're out in the field, you hate them. And I reckon it'd be hard as a coach as well. Like being there in the opposite room, you both want the same result, right? So it'd be a tough thing coming up against your mate.
You wouldn't find that hard at all.
No, I just hate him.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, we really appreciate your time, mate. Great challenge ahead over the next couple of years at least. Good luck with it, mate. And there's only one villain or someone that would paint you that way out of the three of us here. And I don't want to name you Michael Carayannis, but that man is you. Good luck, Matt.
Thanks, boys. Anytime.
Rugby League is on your radio.
NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
A lot to talk to our man Connor Watson about the Sydney Roosters star they played at this very ground last night and came from behind to defeat Canterbury Bankstown. And we hear Connor's voice in the intro to our coverage for Indigenous Round. It's something very close to his heart and he's on the line. Connor, how are you going?
Hey, Andrew and the boys, how are we?
Mate, very, very well. It's nice to catch up with you and a very important weekend for you, isn't it?
Always great to catch up with you, Andrew. And yes, mate, it is. It's one of the games on, you know, on the calendar that you circle and look forward to it. And I guess just everything that the week brings, mate. So, and then we're lucky enough to go and get a good win last night as well, which always helps.
Yeah, well, we'll get onto the footy side in a moment. But tell us about Cultural Choices Association.
Yeah, well, we've been, we started it back in 2018, mate. You know, as sort of probably a lot of the listeners of the ABC know. But yeah, we started it after I lost my younger cousin Parker back in 2017. And he unfortunately took his life and kind of spurred us as a family to try and make change. You know, suicide and mental health, it's at alarming rates in society as a whole, and particularly in Indigenous communities. So we wanted to try and create positive change. And yeah, we've sort of been doing it for nearly 10 years now, run one of the programs called Boots for Brighter Futures, which is around an Indigenous realm where we give young high school kids sort of in a range of different communities. We work with, yeah, this year, Central Coast, Newcastle. We had some kids or some students, I should say, come down from Gilgandra for a couple of days. So they painted all of the Roosters boys' boots, got to present them with their boots the other day and come to the game last night. And yeah, mate, it was a great experience. They're heading back to Gilgandra, 6-hour bus trip home today. But I know they had such a great time. So yeah, happy and fulfilled, I think. So it's great.
That's a great idea. Have you noticed a difference since you started this charity, Connor, in the suicide rates amongst young Indigenous people?
I wouldn't say that it's improved a whole lot, unfortunately, Andrew. You know, it's and it's just in society in general. Like, you know, it's, I think we're in a, you know, an epidemic as far as mental health, just for the general population. So yeah, it's something that we're, you know, we just want to continue to try and, you know, give these opportunities. So just to have a small effect, you know, if we can help one person, you know, that's significant for us. But we definitely know, like, just through our work and the feedback from, you know, the students and then also the teachers, and, you know, we've run this program in the juvies as well. And we know the feedback around the program is really positive and know that it actually, you know, it helps create positive change. But I think, you know, just in the general society of suicide for Indigenous and non-Indigenous, it's it's not getting better at the moment, unfortunately.
Connor, what's something about the Indigenous culture you wish more Australians understood?
I think there's a lot, Louis. Like, you know, a lot of it's sort of been lost. But I think the biggest thing is that, you know, that we just all sort of buy into it. Like, it's part of our country's history. You know, everyone who's Australian should be proud of that Indigenous history, which, you know, was here, you know, the First Nations sort of history. And I think just trying to learn more, and because it is such a beautiful culture, but I think it's just having that openness to want to understand and learn more. And, you know, we all come from different cultural backgrounds, but it's the first culture that was here in Australia. So as an Australian, I feel like we should want to learn more about it. And that's why Indigenous Rounds a great week, because, you know, it does that job of sort of educating people. And even, you know, like, yeah, I'm still every day, like, always on a cultural learning journey. So I think, yeah, just for everyone to be open-minded, and there's just so many, it's just such a beautiful culture, like I said. So there's plenty of stuff that we can take from it.
Mate, there's been a lot of amazing Indigenous athletes, and obviously a couple that I absolutely love watching, like Nathan Blacklock and Mundine. Did you have a guy that you looked up to? I suppose that was an Indigenous player that really sort of changed our game.
Yeah, I think for me, being a fullback when I was a kid, so Matty Bowen was one of my favourite players. Just the way he and Jonathan Thurston linked up for a long time there for the Cowboys. Like, mate, it was just constant highlight reel, those guys working together. But I remember when I played in my first All-Stars game, Matty Bowen was in the was in camp with us as one of the assistant coaches. And we were playing some, like, it's called dropout game. You'd probably know it, Louis, but it's like a little sort of competitive game where one team drops out and then the other team's got to try and score, and the defenders start with, you know, like three, and then so you get three tackles, and then once that happens, you either score or you don't, and you get like points. And then, you know, then you the next drop out, you get four defenders and then five and then so on until it's, say, like 7-on-7. And we're a player short, so Matty Bowen jumped in with us, and we were on the last one, 7-on-7, and it was even. They dropped off to us. Matty Bowen got the ball and then dummied and went through, and he'd been like probably, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years retired at this point. I just remember like being like, this is one of those pinch me moments, you know. If I was a little kid thinking about, I'm getting to play a game with Matty Bowen and he just goes and wins it for us, like, even though it meant nothing, but it was just, honestly, mate, it was a crazy moment.
Yeah, mate, that sounds awesome. Like, for me, I'll never forget, you know, when old players come in and they're still carved up. But Matty Bowen, mate, he was outstanding. One of the best players I ever played against. Now, the only thing is, you mentioned two Queenslanders, but I won't hold that against you.
Look, we're going to have a bit of news around the All-Stars game a little bit later, but what's your take on where the All-Stars game is at the moment, and I guess the need or the desire from players to keep it a part of the calendar?
Yeah, are you like, what are you hearing, MC, that are you going to, is there going to be a call on that soon?
You might have to tune in about 20 minutes for my hammer time, wow. Connor. So. Well,
it's not a 20 minutes, Connor. Connor
wants the scoop.
I don't know. I'd like to know, though.
I might tell you later.
But,
on the radio.
On the radio. About 20 minutes, we'll have it. Sure. But what's your thoughts on it, Connor, and how... where it is at the moment and what you'd like to see occur with the game?
Yeah, well, mate, like we've spoken about it a lot in the camp, and, you know, everyone who plays in it, both Māori and Indigenous, are right behind the game. We love it. You know, I feel like as a player, it's a great way to start the year. It means a lot more than a trial game does, and you can see it, the intensity of it. You know, it's played at like a rep game speed and physicality. So for me, like, I love setting my year up by playing in it. There's obviously, you know, different things around clubs letting players play, you know, people pulling out with sort of injury and stuff like that. But I think the spectacle, it's an important one for the NRL to have on the calendar. So, yeah, I'd like it to stay. I don't know, like, we, you know, as sort of the players we've spoken about, potentially, like, you know, we'd like to... You know, if playing a team in, say, like the lower Pacific Champs or what's the bowl? Is it the bowl, the one underneath?
Yeah.
So, like, have a team in that. But, yeah, mate, we love it. The week makes a massive impact in communities for both the Māori and Indigenous people. So it's definitely an important week to have on the calendar. But just, I guess, where they have it.
Yeah, there's definitely... plans to keep it a part of the calendar, but we'll have a bit on that shortly. Just on,
you're very excited that you've got this over Connor currently, aren't you?
Well, not really. It's just a teaser. It's just a teaser to keep people engaged, Andrew. I'll teach you about it. But just on last night's performance, how when you guys get into training on Monday of last week, do you sit there and do you watch the 80 points that you put on North Queensland, or do you try and watch that? Like, how does that work? Given we, you know, none of us have ever seen any of that sort of scoreline in our lifetimes.
Yeah, no, we didn't, mate, to be honest. We played on the Thursday, and then we got back to Sydney on Friday. When we got back to Sydney, we did our review then. And then, to be honest, like, we looked at, I don't even know if we looked at many of the tries, mate. It was more just some improvement areas, really, like... There was a couple of things that we wanted to take out of it, some sort of defensive things. And then we kind of just moved on from it, to be honest, MC. And then once we come into training on Monday, it was all sort of Bulldogs. We went away up to the Central Coast this week for a couple of days, had a three-day camp up there. And it was all Bulldogs and all the looking towards the rest of the year for us, mate, to be honest. We didn't really touch on that 82 points.
Well, I'll tell you what, your focus now, Connor's on Penrith. And yes. You guys have been on a great run for what? We're talking 3 months now, looking really, really good, winning games even when you're not collectively at your best. But Penrith kind of beat you guys for fun, and they have done for years and years and years. But you're going to go up against a Penrith team without Isaiah Yeo. That's got to make a difference. How do you as a team go about things differently against Penrith?
I think we're a different team, Andrew, to the one that we've been the last couple of years, mate. I think we're winning games, you know, without sort of like we're finding ways to win. I think last night was a good example of that. You know, we probably weren't playing our best, particularly in that second half to start with. But yeah, I feel like we're a different football side than one that's played Penrith previously, even the one, you know, that versus them at the start of the year. So I feel like we've come a long way as a football side. We sort of understand our football more, have more, I feel like we're a bit more hardened than sort of we were to start the year. But I think, you know, that's all talk until we go up and show it against Penrith next week because, yeah, you're right. You know, they've had the wood over us the last 2 years, but yeah, and you know, it's irrelevant who we're versing. Like, we know what we want to achieve in this competition, and we have to beat every single team to go and do that. And we're on a path with finding our best football and continuing to build that. So next week's a great challenge for us.
No, Isaiah Yeo, obviously, next will most likely he's going to be out long term. How much does that hurt the Panthers, mate?
Yeah, well, you know, to lose someone like him, he's got so much experience. He's, you know, he's a winner. He's done it at the top for a long time. But one thing about Penrith is they've always done it. Is when they lose someone, they just, you know, just that next man up mentality. Like, yeah, they're going to be great next week. We know that. And, you know, it does hurt losing a guy like Isaiah, but they've still got a stacked football side with, you know, arguably the best player in the game at halfback. So, yes, it's going to be a big challenge.
Just finally, Connor, back to Cultural Choices Association. Tell us about these painted boots that you referred to earlier about from the youngsters at Gilgandra, because yours is among them, but there are plenty of others in both your men's and NRLW teams, right?
Yeah, well, we did. We got 136 pairs painted, so it was a big job from our team, and they did a great, organising that. But we're only auctioning 22 pairs off, so they'll be on the website, ccai.org.au. Jump on there. I think we've sort of just, the team's handpicked a few from the teams that we're doing, so, and that's across NRL and NRLW. So I think we've got, from the Roosters, we've got Minor up for auction, Sammy Walkers, Chezzers, Teddy's, we've got Marks up for auction. So like I'm missing one person, and then
I think Isabel Kelly, Olivia Koenig.
Yeah. From the girls, we've got, I think, Jamal Fogarty, Jason Sarbs from Manly. We're doing from the Knights, we got Dill Lucas, Bradman Best, Fletcher Sharp, Dane Gagai, Kaelin Pongers. Then the Knights NRLW, we've got Liv Higgins, Georgie Roach, Shanice Parker, Kira Dibb, Manly, the boys that I said before. We got the NRLW from the Sharks. We got Quincy Dodd, Tiana Penantani, Jada Taylor. And then from the Eels NRLW, Kennedy Charrington, Abby Church, and Keely Joseph.
Fantastic.
That's the guys that I said from my team. So, yeah, there's 24 pairs of boots, up for auction. And all the proceeds go back into the association so we can continue to run programs like the one that we've been able to do this year. So any support will be greatly appreciated. And if you know, you can't afford to make a bid on some of the boots, you can donate to the charity. We are a DGR status, so it means any, I think any donation over $2 is tax deductible. So, yeah, any support will be greatly appreciated.
ccai.org.au. And we've been, you know, especially at the start of this conversation, talking about heavy issues, which is what Cultural Choices Association is about and trying to prevent. If you are struggling, remember there is always help available via Lifeline on 13 11 14. Connor, great to chat to you as always. Hopefully we see you up here very soon, mate, and continue the great run for the Sydney Roosters.
Thank you, mate. We'll catch up soon. See you, boys.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Saturday.
Rugby League is on your radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
Righto, Michael. First things first, the All-Stars game.
Yeah, let's start with Campbell Graham and his calf. Andrew, we spoke about that earlier. Looks like he'll be missing for about a month. So it's a blow to South Sydney.
Wow.
We touched on, you know, the fact that they get player in, player out, player in, player out. That's the cycle continues. So Campbell Graham out for a month.
All right. Next up, Oren Keeley. Oh, no. What have you got
next? He's playing later. He's playing in Perth, just on Perth, Andrew. They're trying to snatch the 2028 grand final from the NRL. Obviously, we go through this rigmarole all the time around where the grand final will be played. Brisbane have made multiple bids for it, obviously hosted during that COVID year. But the Pope's out here in 2028. Apparently, that's going to cause some drama with, and he's booked in for that long weekend.
Please. It will not be in Perth.
I don't think so either. I'm just telling you what's going on.
All right. Now, All-Stars.
All-Stars, yes. Yeah. All-Stars, finally. The club bosses were told on Wednesday during a phone hookup with Peter Vlandis that there was a plan to play the All-Stars on the Friday before the grand final, you know, which it makes sense and have a, you know, weekend long of festivities of rugby league. However, the issue is that, you know, speaking to some of the Indigenous players and former players, that the Koori knockouts on that weekend of NRL grand final, which is obviously such a historic tournament. So they couldn't play it on that weekend because it would kill off, you know, the star factor of the Koori knockout. So that's not going to go ahead. Another plan or proposal they're going to consider, we actually, you know, kind of touched on it. Playing the All-Stars once every 4 years and then every other year having an Indigenous side play in the Pacific Bowl. So where they play, you know, either like PNG or Fiji or that second tier of the Pacific Championships. That's another proposal being discussed.
Okay, that's interesting. As long as the Indigenous players are happy to be a part of that, that ultimately that's going to determine the success of a united Indigenous team, whether they actually want to play.
Make it more prestige, I reckon, out of 4 years.
For the All-Stars game, I agree. Yeah.
Every 4 years, I think is a good idea because that way you're going to all but guarantee players will play and it'll become, you know, I think every year it's sort of diluted it a little bit. So I liked every 4 years. The prospect of playing as a fully fledged side in an international tournament. I don't love the concept of having essentially two Australian sides competing at the same time. I know they won't play against each other.
It would work on years like last year when the Kangaroos are over in England, for example, and there's not an Australian team.
But you're still picking an Australian team. How does that work?
Well, you pick your test squad and then...
Yeah, and then if players don't make it, they play for...
100%.
More than comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because I'm not again. It might be one of those things where there's not a perfect solution, but as long as I think a yearly celebration of Indigenous footy beyond Indigenous round, that's the important.
I do like the concept of playing it maybe once every 4 years, once every 3 years to get that prestige back because it has lost its luster. There's no doubt about it. But we heard Connor say it's not just the game; it's what they do in the week, and that's so important that that's not lost either.
Yeah.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.